down the boots and scrape up the knuckles.
Oh, what a hit!
He got jacked.
This is the Big Red Rage with Kerry Rhodes. Presented by Santan Ford.
Picked up by Rhodes at the 25. Cuts left to the 20. To the outside 10. Rhodes to the 5. Touchdown! Kerry Rhodes!
The Rage is brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford and the Arizona Cardinals. We do this together. University of Phoenix, the official education partner of the Arizona Cardinals. Bud Light, the sure sign of a good time. Here we go. And by Cardinals Podcast. Visit azcardinals.com/iTunes.
Bang! There it is.
Lobbing it far side. Picked off by Rhodes at midfield.
It doesn't get any better than that.
Temperature rising, vision blurring, rage taking over.
From Marley Sports Grill at the Chandler Fashion Center.
Hey guys, where else would you rather be?
Here's Paul Calvisi.
Get the popcorn ready. It's going to be a show.
Ron Wolfley.
What's my name?
And Kerry Rhodes.
Oh, hold that, boy. I'm on it. Let's go!
Unleash the fury!
That's right. Let's get ready to bring it. For the next hour, absolutely. Ron Wolfley, you look like you're ready to put the rage into Big Red Rage. Is that your Bud Light bucket chilling down on ice right there? Is that you? Are those yours, Wolf? Are you ready to go?
No, it is not mine. Number okay. one, Paul.
What is that two, exactly that is, chilling down on ice? Oh, it's water.
It's water,
it's
Paul.
It's water, okay.
Yeah, it's water.
I saw two missing. I was like, he got to start it early.
All right. How about a systems check here for a minute? Let's
Paul,
see.
It's not Friday night. You know my routine.
Oh,
it's not Friday night.
Don't.
I'm not a beer guy.
Don't get between Wolf and his beverage on a Friday night. I'll just tell you that much right now.
Everything done in moderation, Paul.
Big Red Rage check. Marley's Chandler Fashion Center check. Splendicular weather out here. All double check on that one. We got the fans who are out here. They're ready to bring a triple check. And we have your affable host, Mr. Kerry Rhodes. Check!
Woo! Check.
And unfortunately, we also have a cast over there. Am I seeing that correctly? Is there a check mark next to that as well?
Yeah, double check. Double check.
All right. How about the foot injury update desk? Go ahead. Give us the latest. It's been a week since we last spoke about it. We don't know if the foot itself has anything else to say, because it did have a few things to say this time a week ago, but would be the latest from the update desk there, Kerry?
Well, I got good news, but this doesn't mean... Just calm down a little bit, okay?
Okay.
Yeah. The good news
is... Well, we didn't hear the news yet, Kerry.
Yeah. But I knew they were going to get excited when I said it, okay?
All right. Managing expectations. Prepare yourself.
This cast will be off next Friday.
Check!
It'll be off.
Very nice.
That's good news.
Yeah. That's more than a golf clap. I mean, that's a vigorous clap right there.
Okay.
Especially for you, because go ahead, indulge us for a moment. You know, you can whine, you can gripe, you can grouse, all that. Go ahead, you're allowed. I mean, when you're wearing a cast, it's a pain in the rear, isn't it?
Yeah. Just trying to get up here on the stage was an experiment.
Did anybody witness that, by the way? What exactly did you try to do? Because you ended up basically being some sort of trapeze act, hanging on by your toes.
Yeah, I tried to do a triple axle. Mm-hmm.
Triple axle.
Yeah, you like
the
that?
Triple sow cow.
A triple axle move up here and skip a step and see if I'm still athletic enough to get it done.
He did almost go down, ladies and gentlemen. You need to know that.
And I barely made it. I made it because, remember, I didn't get my pedicure.
No.
So the one toe hung on. It made it. So
you got
I was
super
able
grip.
To get it going on.
You got super grip, literally hanging on by your toenails.
Hey. Okay.
So when exactly did you go to the hard cast? Did I miss that?
Yeah.
Did I miss
yeah, you,
that?
You missed it, Wolf.
Okay,
yeah,
so you had the hard cast on last week.
No, I didn't. On the show, I still had the soft cast. Right after the show that Friday.
Right after it?
Yeah.
All right. Is that pink, by the way? Is that pink?
That's red. It's red.
It's red.
Okay. It's a little faded now.
I see. It looked a little pink.
Yeah, it's a little faded.
Does the hard cast allow you to go in the shower, that kind of stuff? What are the advantages, disadvantages of the hard cast?
The hard cast, it just feels a little better. I think with the soft cast, it was room for it to still swell. But with the hard cast, it stays there and... It'll stink a little bit more when I take it off. That's all.
Oh, boy. Okay. Have you been going to the foot injury support group with Kevin Cobb? Have you guys had a conversation or two of sort of shared foot injury tales?
Yeah, my foot and his toe both talked in the third person together, and it was a great experience. It was pretty exhilarating, actually. Yeah.
And was Sam Bradford sitting there at that table?
Yeah, he came in too and had a drink with us, a drink of water.
A little higher up the foot, I guess, high ankle sprain.
Once again, Wolf, like I said on the podcast, azcardinals.com, they're playing this week for the golden walking boot. That is going to be the official trophy on Sunday.
I thought it was the bronze boot.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, exactly. It's the Big Red Rage with Kerry Rhodes and a very special guest next here at Marley's.
Flacco under center. Turns. Play action. He's in trouble. Has to step up. And he lost the ball. It's rolling around inside the 5-yard line. And it is recovered by the Cardinals at the 2. Flacco sacked. The ball comes out, and Darnell Dockett recovers it inside the Baltimore 2-yard line.
They tried to take a shot down the field to Torrey Smith. Joe Flacco turned his back on the play action, and then when he set up, it was too late. O'Brien Schofield already there on the 7-step drop.
Yeah, that was part of the big second quarter. Big, big quarter for the Cardinals in Baltimore, no doubt about it. And no doubt that's a little foreshadowing right there. In fact, our guest here on the Big Red Rage with Kerry Rhodes, if he was still rocking the haircut that he had in training camp, well, you could see it right now at azcardinals.com/live video. Yes, we are streaming live as we speak, azcardinals.com/live video. In fact, staying right next to the camera, Jim Omohundro is the guy who gave him the moniker of Skullhawk. That is now past tense, actually. So, Kerry, take it from there here on the Big Red Rage and give us a little intro of your very special guest this evening.
Okay. I mean, today we have a very special guest. I think this guy is going to be a great player for you guys for years to come. He's coming along. He's got it now. And this is O'Brien Schofield.
Yeah.
Now, O'Brien, yeah, we can't help, you know, I want to tell people you don't have the Skullhawk anymore because you have a hat on. Yeah, it's a throwback Suns hat. And what's beautiful about that is you're here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center, and it's almost like you went into a Foot Locker for Marley and got this circa 1994. I mean, this is the real old school hat you got going here.
Yeah, you know, I had to switch it up. You know, being in Phoenix, I had to support all the Phoenix teams, so I thought I'd go in and get a Suns hat.
Sure you didn't break into Dan's car and actually get this out of his trunk or something. That's what it looks like over there.
Hey, look, it's already two snaps. Yeah.
His first visit here, guys. He actually, you know, had to find it here at Chandler Fashion Center. So, but you're here. We're glad you are. How you doing? O'Brien, how you feeling? How's everything going?
I'm doing really well. I'm taking this year like my rookie year. It's my first full season. So, you know, my body's going through that transition where I'm doing extra work on it just to stay healthy and be able to go day in and day out and get that work done during practice.
You know, technically, folks, just a reminder, last year was his rookie year, but as you got ready for the draft of the Senior Bowl, you know, you tore your ACL, so you came in about midway through last season, no camp, no real practice. I mean, you just went right out there. I mean, you talk about welcome to the NFL, Kerry. Can you kind of put that in perspective, what he did a year ago, midway through the season, and then he played in the last 10 games of the year?
Yeah, I think it was a tough transition for him. I mean, coming into a rookie year, you want to have all your guns blazing and come out and be ready to go. But he was cut short and wasn't able to have that transition. So I think for him, he learned on the fly and took all the coaching and took all the advice from older players that tried to get him going in the right direction. And he's starting to capitalize on that now.
So how has it gone for you, O'Brien? How has it gone for you? Is the game starting to slow down at all for you mentally?
Mentally, yes. It's been just a learning process because you can do all the reps you want in practice, but it's still not the same as the game. You know, to me now, I feel like I can see everything develop in the game, and it's just amazing to see, like, man, you know, we've been to this 3-4 times in practice, and I'm able to recognize formations and different tendencies. So now I think my football IQ is going up a little bit.
And how much does experience, just flat getting game reps, help with that overall development? It's got to be invaluable, right?
Yes, it is. You know, I'm just one of those players that, you know, once you put me in and let me get a feel for the game and let me get out there a little bit and feel what the tackle's doing, I'm able to create pressure. You know, you saw me a little bit in Green Bay, and you know, I was able to get 2 or 3 series in a row, and I was able to go out there and make some things happen. But, you know, as the year went on, it was kind of hard just going in 2 or 3 plays and trying to get a rhythm. But, you know, I did the best that I could from a special team standpoint and doing what I had to do on defense.
The sack and the strip of Joe Flacco in the first half right there, okay? What kind of move did you use?
Well, honestly, I didn't do what I was supposed to do.
Way to be honest.
That is, give me a little on that one. Yeah,
the Red
that
Rage
is awesome.
The Red Rage gets the honest answer.
That is awesome.
I was actually supposed to stunt in the B-gap, but, you know, this tackle, I've been watching him on film, and, you know, he had trouble with an inside move, so I figured everybody else is going down, and if I gave him a little jab step inside, he'll bite on it really hard, and which he did. So that gave me a chance to set him up outside and just basically run around him untouched.
Got the edge.
Yeah, and be able to get the sack.
Freelancing O'Brien Schofield.
Yes.
And you know what? It doesn't matter. Nobody really cares what the assignment was. It's all about the production. It's sort of like when we play this for you right now, I don't speak Spanish. It doesn't matter. It's going to be great. Okay. Because I don't know if you ever experienced one of your own highlights in Spanish.
No, I haven't.
This is what your sack sounded like on Cardinals Spanish radio. Roll it, guys.
Okay. Segunda oportunidad, dos yardas por avanzar, balón en la 17. Finta de que va por tierra. Viene la presión sobre yo, flaco, la captura, se le suelta el balón queda a la deriva. Y el balón es de Cardenales de Arizona. Darnell Duckett se queda con ese balón. O'Brien Schofield. Obi-Wan Kenobi con la espectacular jugada.
So it was like O'Brien Schofield. You had to get the O'Brien Schofield.
And then at the end there was a Star Wars reference, Obi-Wan. Yeah. And so there was a little bit of that in there. So you got everything in there, pop culture and everything.
You know what? I'm a little happy about that. You know, I lost my nickname with the Skohawk, and now hopefully I can keep this Obi-Wan Kenobi for a little bit.
How do you feel about that? Would you like to keep the nickname Skohawk, even though you don't have the Skohawk Mohawk going on?
You know what? I really would. I think that once you get to the point where you have a nickname in football, you know, you're actually doing something. You know, they don't really give guys nicknames unless you're either good or you're terrible.
Why did you actually let go of the Skohawk, might I ask?
Well, I was getting a lot of attention that I didn't want when I was going out places. You know, I couldn't really have that little privacy that I wanted. I was always getting stopped. Yeah,
that's probably because you had a mohawk that was gold.
That was
right?
Bronze. It was gold.
Bright yellow, was it not? Well,
at the end, it was multicolored, let's be honest. It kind of was like this hue. It was sort of like a color band almost.
With my personality, I wanted to just be different. You know, everyone has the plain black or just do designs on the side. I was like, well, let me experiment with the color and, you know, see how crazy I can get with it.
See, I was wondering, your cousin, Vonnie Holiday, kind of disowned you. I was wondering if that was a factor in getting rid of the Skohawk.
Oh, yeah, he definitely disowned me. You know, I just really wanted to take more of a business approach and, you know, just cut my hair and see how things would go. And I wanted, you know, the coaches and everyone on the team to take me more serious.
Would you do it again? Would you go with the Skohawk again?
I'm going to be completely honest. Next year, I'm going to do it again.
Oh!
I'm going to switch it up, though. It's going to be a couple modifications, and you know, it's going to be a couple modifications. I'm going to have a little more fun with it next year.
Will the Skohawk go third person? That's what I want to know. I don't care about that stuff. Will it go third person?
Get it its own Twitter handle.
Yeah. You know what?
You should.
If I can do that, I probably would. I have to have someone manage it, though, because I have a problem managing my own Twitter right now.
Hey, Carrie, true or false? O'Brien is his real name. O'Brien. True or false? I know the answer to this. What do you think?
Was it a trick question here?
No, it's a real question. Trivia question about O'Brien Schofield. His real name or not?
It must not be, because you're saying something about it.
It's his middle name. Isn't that correct? O'Brien is your middle name.
O'Brien's my middle name.
Okay. There's a story behind all this.
Yeah.
We'll continue with that.
We're
curious, what's the name of the Cardinals' starting quarterback going to be? That is all next. It is the Big Red Rage. O'Brien Schofield, your host, Kerry Rhodes, here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center.
Three-man rush for Dallas. Skelton with time. Fires deep middle. Fitzgerald caught it at the 45 of Arizona. It's a first down.
You've got to be kidding me. Larry Fitzgerald running a seam route against four deep. And Skelton got it into him.
John is a big, strong arm quarterback. He played well for us down the stretch last year when he got his opportunity. And he can make all the throws. And, you know, he's got some familiarity with the offense, you know, being in it already for a year. So I think guys are comfortable with him. We understand who he is.
doubt. That highlight there was a 4th-and-16 completion of Fitz against Dallas a year ago, 4 starts a year ago, and that rookie season for John Skelton. The question is, will he start Sunday against St. Louis at sold-out University of Phoenix Stadium? More on that in a moment. Reminder, with each passing touchdown this season, Wells Fargo donates $500 to Team Up for Schools Fund, which donates money to local public schools. Wells Fargo, together we'll go far. Paul Calvisi, Ron Wolfley, Kerry Rhodes. It is the Big Red Rage, presented by Santan Ford and special guest O'Brien Schofield. So, Kerry, considering you asked him during the commercial break there about his name and so forth, let's just resolve that, and then we'll move on. O'Brien is your middle name, right?
Yes,
it is. And why do you go by O'Brien?
Well, my first name sounds like a girl name, and I used to get teased really bad growing up, and the teachers used to butcher my name so badly that I just decided to go by my middle name.
I see what it is here in the media guide, but you're right. I don't even know how to pronounce it. How is it properly pronounced?
It's pronounced Alacia.
Alacia?
Yes.
And what's the history or derivation of that name?
Well, my dad's in the military. He's still active right now, and when I was born, he was over in Portugal.
Yep.
And he called my mother when I was when she was in labor with me and told her to name me Alacio Brian Schofield. And she heard it wrong and put down Alacia O'Brien Schofield.
Wow.
So that's where the O'Brien comes from.
Alacia, huh?
Yeah.
Have you ever told anybody that? I mean, really, because you got your teammates' attention over here.
Yeah.
Kerry was leaning forward, like looking at you like, oh, boy, this is going to cost you in the locker room.
It is.
And you know why, though, because Kerry was always, you know, like it could be a girl or a guy name. It was a dual name.
That's right.
But Alacia, you can't get any guy thing out of that. Alacia.
So do you guys need like an intervention, the two of you? I mean, do you need to get something out? You know, I mean, do you guys sort of commiserate and compare stories? I mean, is that what made you tough football players and kids? Because you guys might have gotten teased and you had a fight in the playground or what?
You know, you could possibly say that. You know, I really hated that because I was like, man, I used to go up to the teacher before class started, like on the first day, and be like, look, I know you're not going to be able to pronounce my name. Don't call me Alacia. Just call me O'Brien, and we can start the year off like that.
A little preemptive strike.
Yeah.
It really reminds me, too, of a former Cardinal great. Have you ever heard of Stump Mitchell?
Oh, yeah.
Stump Mitchell, okay? An excellent, oh, my goodness, what a great football player he was. Stump's real name? Livonia.
Livonia?
That's
Livonia.
A suburb outside Detroit.
Livonia Mitchell.
Livonia
so you're
Mitchell.
Not alone, yeah. O'Brien.
Wow.
He is alone. Alacia is by itself. So I don't know. Yeah. He is alone.
Well,
but it's going to cost you.
What's
amazing, guys, is yesterday was unlike any other day when it comes to, like, you know, vocab words. We got this, but there was a word that was heard twice yesterday, Cardinals in the media, and that was sucker. And we heard Ken Wisenhunt call Beanie Wells a tough sucker and talking about how tough he ran against Baltimore. And then you had Larry Fitzgerald use that word, and he was referring to Kevin Cobb and the turf toe in a movie. I'm pretty sure, Wolf, you have this movie on Blu-ray, the 20th anniversary edition, the box set. Let's get the name of that movie and the comparison from Larry Fitzgerald when he's talking about Kevin Cobb's turf toe.
Have anybody ever seen I'm Gonna Get You Sucker before? Have you seen that movie?
Yes.
Well, you remember the time where the guy stepped on his big toe and blew up on him like that? Or the Nutty Professor? Have you ever seen how his toe? That's how his toe looked. It was crazy. It's huge. And I mean, I know it was painful for him to, you know, play through 3 quarters with that kind of injury. But, you know, we're all appreciative of his sacrifice for us and going out there and gutting it out.
All right, who's seen the toe? Who's actually seen it?
I did see it. I saw it in the training room. And it's still black and blue, pretty big. And
Oh,
it was tough. It was tough.
Yeah, well, I have a weak stomach, so I'm glad he kept that wrapped up.
So Alacia has a weak stomach as well.
Oh, see, it's already started. I'm sorry about that, O'Brien.
That's okay.
Especially since I have a weak stomach. An open-faced sandwich, I get sick. You know what I mean? I can't handle the blood and guts.
So he's over there teasing me, but he didn't say what we call him in the locker room.
Oh, really? Do tell, please.
Eugene.
And that would be because...
That's his name.
No, yeah. Don't ask why, Paul.
Don't ever ask why.
Yeah. And I will call somebody something else in the locker.
Exactly. You don't do that.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. Yeah. So the toe, Paul, you had the best description of the toe, Kevin Cobb's injury. What exactly did you say it was, Paul?
To me, when I saw it right after the game and it came out of the cleat, it looked like that Genoa salami that's hanging in your deli behind the butcher and it's hanging from the ceiling on a string.
Wow.
That's what it looked like. I mean, it was nasty. nasty. I mean, guys were recoiling in horror in the locker room when he took that thing out of the shoe.
It was bad.
It was bad.
Yeah.
Wow. I knew it was bad, too, when he was laid out of the locker room at halftime.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was some medical intervention there,
yeah.
You know, to get medical him ready for the second half.
Yeah.
I knew it was going to be bad.
Better football through chemistry?
Yeah, something like that. It was, hey, Bueller Swiss Watches offers sport and elegant design, supreme quality, and precise Swiss-made movements that ensure maximum accuracy. Available at Tracy B. Designs in Phoenix, McGuire's Jewelers in Tucson, Bueller Swiss Watch Company, a proud partner of the Arizona Cardinals. More of the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford with Kerry Rhodes and O'Brien Schofield at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center.
Wobbly kick. Peterson waiting for it. Fields it at the 18. Runs right. Far side 20 at the 25. Breaks a tackle and gets to the outside at the 30. He's at the 40. He's at the 45-50. At the 45-40. Being chased at the 35-30. Peterson 20-10. To the house. Patrick Peterson. The rookie out of LSU is second. Punt return for a touchdown.
Speaking of trivia, here's one for you, Wolf, on the Big Red Rage, presented by Santan Ford, Kerry Rhodes, O'Brien Schofield. So that's his second this season,
yes.
Second punt return. Do you realize a franchise record in a career is 3?
Yes.
And it's held by your old buddy, Vi Sikahima.
Yeah.
So put that in perspective. As talented as Vi was with the punt returns, and think of what Patrick Peterson has done as a rookie.
Vi went to 2 Pro Bowls as a punt returner and kick returner.
Yep.
2 Pro Bowls he went to,
that.
And... you know, right now, the fact that Patrick Peterson is right there is amazing. I will tell you this. As a guy that has covered a ton of punts in my life, a ton of kicks in my life, the most impressive thing to me was the way Patrick Peterson used a bit of a ruse to fool everybody as to where the ball actually was. He stood underneath that thing, and he stood almost like a statue, yet very, very relaxed, not letting anyone know he was getting ready to field the ball, and then suddenly there it was, and boom. He snatched that thing out of the air and moved off to his right like so many great punt returners have done in the past. They move laterally and then they plant that foot, man, and they go north, and you are doomed if they have any type of burst to them. But the little ruse that he used again to fool the coverage team as to how close he was to fielding the ball, to me, really caught them off guard.
Yeah, he's one of the best at doing that. He does it all the time in practice. He waits to the last second, and the punt return team has no chance of getting there. The punt coverage team.
I have more of an impressive story to tell you. We was in our punt return meeting on Friday, and he stood up and said, "If you guys just give me 7 yards, I'll score a touchdown." He said, "If you give me 7 yards of room, I'll score."
You know, wow. I was going to bring that up because Adrian Wilson was mic'd up on the sideline.
Yeah.
And after the touchdown, Adrian was sort of talking to himself, walking up and down, and sort of yelling, "He got his 7.
Yeah.
He got it.
That's what he said.
Yeah.
So that must have made an impression. Oh, wow.
It did. You know, especially coming from a rookie, you know, to be able to stand up in front of the group and say, "If you give me 7, I'm going to score." That really motivated the guys on punt return, and everyone was ready to go out and play that night. So
he's basically saying, "Put a hat on a hat, and I'll do the rest." And I had a chance to sit down with him yesterday for a long one-on-one. You'll see the feature story on Maximum Cardinals on Saturday right on TV. And he's supremely confident returning punts. As you know, and the results are there. It's like he told us on this show, it's not chaos to him. It's order. He sees them one by one by one, and he makes guys miss, and then, boom, he's in the clear.
It's a gift.
It is.
By the way, speaking of Patrick Peterson, he also said that he admitted that before the bye week there, Kerry, that the game was like this. And he just did, you know, this just lightning fast. And he said things have officially slowed down to the point where this week he told Adrian Wilson, "I'm good. I don't need you looking back and trying to, you know, kind of covering for me. I'm good."
Yeah.
So do you see that progress in him? And does that happen to every rookie at some point? When did that happen to you? At what point in your rookie season?
In my rookie season, I think it was the aha moment for me was against Jacksonville. It was probably around the fourth game. You know, I had been playing well, getting better as the season went on. And we got to Jacksonville, and I made a big pick of Byron Leftwich on Matt Jones. And I still remember the play. And I was like, okay, this isn't that hard. So it slowed down a little bit.
When I look at Patrick Peterson and watch him on film, the technique from game one to the last game, game number 7 against the Ravens, it is night and day almost when you watch it. His technique is improving.
He's selling it to that player that we expect him to be. I mean, the first couple of games, it was a little rough for him. I think we expected a lot from him, and the pressure was there for him, but I think the game has definitely slowed down, and he's
he's being that guy that eventually is going to be the guy. You go check their best guy, and we'll leave you alone.
Well, it's funny you say eventually, too, because I agree with you. I think at some point in time, probably by year three, he's going to be so good, I believe, as a cover corner that he'll have the Deion rules when it comes to punt returning. In other words, you know what? You're so valuable to us as a cover corner. We're not going to put you back there
all
and
the
expose you all the time.
Yeah.
On punt returns or kickoff returns. They did the same thing with Deion Sanders, and I could see that happening with Patrick Peterson. We called him the Deion rules because when the game was on the line, if they needed it, he was going to be back there.
And he, most of the time, he took it to the house.
Yeah. I missed Deion Sanders not once, but three times on one kickoff return. I kid you not, it's on film. It's in the books.
He's just weaving and meandering, and you keep coming back.
He kept reversing his field back and forth.
That is hilarious.
He was good.
If there was one piece of video I had right now, that would be it. I'd love to see that. By the way, what did it say to you, Kerry? Late first half, right? And there was Patrick Peterson. He got the flag, and the very next play, he breaks up the pass against Anquan Boldin in the end zone. Mentally, he seems tough.
Oh, he knows that playing that position is hard. I mean, you have to take each play as its own entity. It's one play. So you make one bad play, move on from it. You come the next play and make a big play, and that can change the game. And he's one of those guys that has that sense.
The only bad thing, O'Brien, this week from what I glean in the locker room, or as long as you're taking us inside the locker room with that one story, is that he's been talking a lot of trash about LSU this week.
Oh,
and I know Rashad Johnson, you know, I mean, it's getting insufferable in there, isn't it? The Alabama-LSU talk, is it, guys? You're both nodding.
Yeah.
It will be settled on Saturday.
I'm with Bama, though. Roll Tide Roll, so I'm with those guys.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow. Bro,
look at you jumping right on the bandwagon.
Yes.
All the way
LSU.
Good thing Early isn't up here either. I know, between Early and Patrick, my goodness.
If Early was here, I'd be like, go Tigers.
So, I see. I'm mincing words about that. All right, look. It is the Room Store's ultimate fan cave giveaway. Get over to the Room Store. Get yourself a big old flat screen to watch the big game Saturday night, and then the Cardinals on Sunday. It is sold out. It will be on TV. You register to win a 7-piece living room with a 55-inch flat screen at any Room Store location. It is the Big Red Rage. We roll on here. Marley Chandler Fashion Center, the crew from Santan Ford is out here. Back after this.
The Cardinals get to Joe Flacco, and it's rookie Sam Acho. He sacked Ben Roethlisberger last week. He gets to Flacco there.
Those guys got a lot of energy, man, a lot of work ethic, and those guys believe in themselves, and that's what you want when you step on the field. You know, both of them, Schofield and Acho. I always tell him. He looked like a lawyer, but he wants to play football, so I always give him a hard time anyway.
He does, yeah. I mean, no doubt about it. Sam Acho and O'Brien Schofield are guests here tonight on the Big Red Rage, presented by Santan Ford. Yes, Marley's Chandler Fashion Center, Paul Calvisi, Ron Wolfley. And so you guys both had a sack apiece there, O'Brien. You had the forced fumble. Dockett was the beneficiary. He recovered the fumble at the 2-yard line. So did, how's that work? Does he say thanks to you for forcing the fumble, or you say thanks to him for, you know, recovering the fumble and getting the turnover? Was there any sort of communication after that play?
I mean, it's all in the agreement, you know. I forced the fumble, and he picked it up, and we're able to put our offense in a great position. So you kind of just look at each other and give a good nod.
Got a couple of guys, O'Brien, that have been around for a long, long time, and Joey Porter and Clark Hagans. And how much have you learned from those guys? How much are they willing to share with you and Sam Acho?
I can honestly say, when I look back just to from the Senior Bowl coming into the league, I look at my ACL injury as a blessing, because I was able to sit out and really get to know Joey and Clark, and they're very, very good guys. You know, I know Joey gets butchered a lot in the media, but I mean, he's basically poured out all his knowledge to me, everything that he knows. You know, he stays on me a lot, and he's basically like my personal coach, you know. A lot of people compare me to Joey and Sam to to Clark, you know, and our D coordinator's done that a couple of times in meetings. But, you know, he says, you know, Sam always does everything right, and I'm more the guy that takes, you know, risky chances to make a play. But, I mean, that's the type of player that I am.
So with the knowledge you've gained from those two guys, how much do you think you've progressed in year two?
Year two, you know, I'm at that point right now where the game is completely, you know, slowing down for me. I have a lot more confidence in my ability, and I'm just waiting for that real opportunity to go out there and start the game and stay in there the whole game. But, you know, right now, as my role is increasing, I'm just trying to, you know, be a playmaker
you know, as far as getting pressure on the quarterback, because that's what I believe I'm here for, and, you know, just bring that energy to the defense.
You know, Kerry, is there some sort of code in the locker room? Because Joey Porter was talking this week about when he came into the Steelers, you know, over a decade ago, and guys like LeVon Kirkland, you know, and those kind of guys helped him. There were other guys that he was competing for their job, and they offered anything and everything they could in terms of knowledge. That's got to be a difficult thing to do, I would think, when it's your livelihood.
Yeah, but that's what makes the good teams great. I mean, we have veteran guys that are willing to give the younger guys the information they need to succeed. That team is going to be good because you're not worried about yourself. It's not a selfish team. It's a selfless team, and that makes a big world of difference.
I want to go back to something you said earlier, O'Brien. You were talking about on your sack and your strip of Joe Flacco that you actually blew the assignment,
yes.
But yet you got the sack. Yes. I forgot to ask you to follow up. What did the coaches say to you on that?
That's
when
a great
you were
question.
Watching the film.
Great question.
What exactly did they say to you?
Well, it was like, you know you're supposed to go inside, but you made the play. Good job.
That's all that matters.
You know,
but if I didn't make the play, you know, I would have been in trouble. So,
speaking of the media, they've made a lot about the wristband that you have on. So do you still use that? Are you still wearing that? How instrumental has that been in your progression?
Well, you know, each week, you know, we game plan against a team and we put in new defenses. And, you know, I still use a wristband just to get accustomed to whatever new plays we have. But, I mean, I've been wearing it so long, I just keep it on. It's almost like a ritual, you know. And when the coaches see that, you know, they're comfortable that they know that I know what I'm doing. But, you know, whatever it takes to get on the field,
absolutely,
you know, I'm doing it.
Because, you know, maybe people forget. I mean, you were a first team All Big Ten defensive end less than 2 years ago.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you're still making that transition, hand in the dirt to being an outside linebacker, right?
Yes, yes. I mean, it's a big transition, you know, from a guy who just rushed the passer and played the run and, you know, stayed in the trenches to actually standing up. And now you see the whole formation. Now you're dropping into coverage. You're learning to read 2-to-1 reads, and you're learning different coverages and how to pass guys off and different type of drops. You know, that it's a learning experience, especially when you don't have an off season to go over that with your coaches. You know, you just kind of learn it on the fly and doing it in camp.
OB, how much of the time that you're in, how much of the time that you're in on defense, do you actually know 100% of the time you're rushing upfield, that here you come, that you're rushing on this, or does it change by formation and does it change by the call?
Well, we have a lot of double calls. So basically on the formation, you know, it depends on if I'm the blitzer or if I'm the dropper. And, you know, I wish I could just be the rusher most of the time.
Right.
But, you know, it doesn't work that way. So, you know, that's where it comes in for the knowledge of just being able to recognize a formation and knowing that, okay, on this play, I'm the dropper. I got this guy. If he goes out, you know, and this guy comes in, this is who I'm picking up now. And, you know, when I'm a rusher, I can go all out. And, I mean, lately we've been able to do pretty good in stopping the run and put guys in a passing situation. So I've been able to rush the pass a little bit better.
You know, with the knee injury, Joey Porter did not play in Baltimore, obviously. And Kerry, I tell you what, I think he was more amped up on the sideline, you know, in street clothes than he was in uniform. He never stopped yelling. He was going up and down the sideline. He reminded me of Todd Haley almost, and he's Joey Porter.
he told me he had he was drained after the game. He said he invested so much as a coach that he was tired just like a player would. So it was one of those moments where
could you hear him out there, O'Brien? I mean, I mean he was shouting, you know, he was barking it out.
You know what, to be honest with you, I could, you know, I heard him in Green Bay. You know, he was in Green Bay. I was tired before I got that sack. He yelled at me. It was like, get it together, you know, get this sack. And, you know, I was able to do that. It's something about when a guy like Joe, he's a legend, man. He talks to you and gives you an order or gives you a way to do something. You really want to go out and try that and give your best effort at it.
Well, that is It's All About You, presented by Santan Ford. That was all about O'Brien Schofield, the position transition, if you will. Steven Jackson is next. We'll talk about it. He's next on the schedule here on the Big Red Rage.
On first down, the inside give to Jackson, who pulls his way into the end zone. Touchdown, St. Louis Rams. Steven Jackson from 3 yards out.
Steven Jackson, what a big, studly guy this guy is. You give him a chance, he'll light you up like a taser in a trailer park.
That was an all-timer right there on Cardinals Radio. Ron Wolfley, Dave Pasch, and, you know, if you're with the Arizona Cardinals, right down to the color analysts, you really don't have to go into detail about Steven Jackson,
no.
Do you? There's a lot of respect throughout the entire organization in that locker room. I know there were many years in a row where every single member of the defense seemingly voted him first team All-Pro. I mean, he, you know, that was one of the first guys they voted for on that ballot. And you're nodding, Kerry. I mean, he's the real deal, even at this stage in his career, isn't he?
Yeah, he's a great player. He's one of those unique guys that has a very big, he's a very big guy and has a nice size and blend and all that stuff together. So he's one of those rare talents that you find every year.
You know, Derek Anderson was up here last year, and they were teammates at Oregon State, and he was already there when Steven Jackson showed up on campus. Remember that story, Wolf? About Steven Jackson shows up, and Derek Anderson's like, you're a running back?
Yes.
I mean, just the size of the guy.
Yeah.
You know, in college, like, what? I thought you were a linebacker, a defensive end, something like that.
So, O'Brien, when you watch Steven Jackson on film, what do you think of?
You know, I was expecting to see a Beanie Wells type guy, but he's not that. You know, he's actually very athletic, and not saying that Beanie's not. We got to be clarified that.
You might want
to take that one in the locker room.
Let me clarify that.
No,
forget
Beanie's
about
very athletic,
beast mode.
What I'm saying is Beanie, he runs like he is mad. He's the madman, and I would not want to be in front of that, you know, especially what I saw you did with Ed Reed. But to get back to
he did it again. That's like three games in a row he's done that.
To talk about Steven, though, he's just, you know, he has a lot of juke moves, and he's pretty fast and very smooth. Like, you know, you can't even tell he's running. Nothing like he's picking up his feet. So when I was looking at him, you know, I was trying to study him and figure out, you know, how many times does he try to juke? Does he actually try to run guys over? You know, he has pretty good hands. Like, for a guy that size, you know, you wouldn't think he would be that athletic and that agile as a back.
See, and that is the thing about Steven Jackson. From time to time, he doesn't do it nearly as often as he used to, but from time to time, he will definitely rip it. He will lower the shoulder, and he will choose the third rail of rushing the football, which is running right over you. And you hear me talk about this all the time, and that is – that is where Beanie, I think, has gotten to. I think he's gotten to the point now where he's shown it enough on film where teams and players and guys, they are talking about, let me tell you something, you better buckle it up. Yeah. If 26 gets into the open field, you better be ready. And I can tell you, folks, the one thing that no football player ever wants is to be embarrassed in front of his teammates, to be embarrassed in front of coaches, to be embarrassed in front of his family, to be embarrassed in front of his wife sitting up in aisle number four, right? You don't want to be embarrassed on the football field. So Beanie now, after showing this ability to run over people, he's got him right where he wants him down the road, because now when you get into the open field, a little hiccup, a little juke, and that defender's feet, for the most part, will be stuck in cement, because he does not want to get embarrassed by Beanie Wells.
I think the wife part was the most interesting part you said. And you know why? Because you don't want to lose that respect in the bedroom.
You know what?
So
why would you go there?
You went there. You started it. So
why would you talk about that, especially when we have a eunuch in Pulse?
Oh, are you kidding me? I'm over here an innocent bystander. You guys got issues down there, and it comes back and hits me upside the head.
You can't be that guy. You don't want to be embarrassed. You don't want to be in the house and you're trying to give orders, and your wife saying, "Why didn't you do that to Beanie Wells?" You don't want to be that guy.
I'll tell you one thing. You know, I played against Beanie in college. Him going to Ohio State and me going to Wisconsin, and you know, he's starting to run like he did in college. You know, that guy was a bruiser. You know, and we knew it. You know, he was one of those guys that the coach was saying, "We got to gang tackle this guy." You know, everybody get to the ball, everybody to the ball, because he was just that tough to bring down. And I'm starting to see, you know, he's getting comfortable. You know, him playing a lot more. You know, being able to fight through little nagging injuries. You know, because, you know, Beanie has some troubles in the past with that, but this year to see him actually be able to go out there and play, like, he's the player that we need at running back.
Guys, I mean, the level of respect right now, has it ever been higher, Kerry, for Beanie Wells, considering how he gutted out against Baltimore? He had a hard time even getting in the edge because he didn't have the speed, yet he was out there the entire game.
Yeah, I remember we were asking him, was he going to be able to go? And he was uncertain. So to be able to go out and play the whole game and play effective and run well was a great sign for him.
I still remember what Fitz told us up here a couple of weeks ago, how much easier it is now to block DBs, cornerbacks especially, in the fourth quarter, because they don't want to come off the block.
No trick.
I'm getting blocked by Larry. I can't disengage, right?
He was holding me, coach. Yeah. He was holding me.
Yeah.
Hey.
I don't want to stick that face in front of me.
Nah, you don't want it.
Yeah. By the way, that shot Wolf took of me there, O'Brien, that's a broadcast version getting picked off the pile. See, I didn't have my head on a swivel, and then boom, I just got nailed right before the whistle.
Always keep your head on the swivel.
Unbelievable. Yes. You think at this stage of my career, I'd see that coming. Okay. It is the Big Red Race presented by Santan Ford. Yes, we're at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center. More with Kerry Rhodes and O'Brien Schofield.
Bradford back to pass with time, steps up, hit as he throws, picked off at the 5-yard line. Running near side at the 10, at the 20 is Kerry Rhodes. At the 30, at the 40, he hurdles a defender. At the 50, far side of the 40, Rhodes cut it back to the 30 and tackled at the 28-yard line.
This one is going to be over because of Kerry Rhodes. The Grim Reaper shows up on cue.
There you go. That was the season opener at St. Louis a year ago. And see, that's karma there, Kerry Rhodes, here on the Big Red Rage. Yes, with Kerry Rhodes, O'Brien Schofield. You took a shot at OB over here. Wolf took a shot at me, so that comes back to you. Now, O'Brien, if you want to take a shot at Kerry, because, you know, Dave Pasch, I think, was a little generous on the call, saying he was tackled. He was really tackled by the turf monster. Let's be honest. You know, I mean, come on. You recollect that game a year ago.
You know, when we watch a film, we say those guys got sniped. You know, I like to make a noise like, you know, got sniped out of nowhere. I really thought he was going to take that back. You know, me, I was injured at the time, so I'm at home, you know, doing like this. And it's one of those,
Could have been a 95-yarder.
Good way to start it. Good way to start his career off as a Cardinal.
It should have been. You know what? I just had a – we played 90 plays that game, so so I got a little tired.
I was going to ask you, O'Brien, if we should point out that he was on the field for like 47 minutes that game. But, you know, it's
hard-working guy.
Mm-hmm. So what does it mean when there's uncertainty for the Rams at quarterback, Kerry? All right, you're a defense. You're trying to get ready. It might be Sam Bradford, probably more likely A.J. Feely. He managed to combine with the rest of the team, get their first win. They shocked the New Orleans Saints last week for their first win. Yep. How difficult does that make preparation for the Rams?
Well, you prepare for what they do as a team. And then you go from, you see who they're going to have at the quarterback position. You have two guys that they may play. If Sam's back, you know what he can do. We've seen him a lot. So if you get A.J. Feely, you haven't been on a lot of tape for us. But you also know that you can go back and see his old stuff and wings of other teams and like to see what he liked to do and like what they want him to do. So it's one of those things you have to prepare for all of it.
What about Brandon Lloyd, speaking of preparing?
Yeah.
How does he look like? I mean, how does he look on film right now?
He looks the same. He looks like he did last year. He's playing at a high level, and, you know, you'll want to go out there and make sure you disrupt the timing on him. You don't want him running down the field because he's a very smooth and fluent athlete, so you want to try to stop him a little bit.
Does this defense, O'Brien, need a little confidence boost? Does it need a little swagger? You know, what the second half against Baltimore, I mean, how are you guys coping with that? Because it was a tale of two different halves, most definitely.
You know, I think that, you know, not to boost up what I did, but I think that there did spark a little energy and a little passion in the defense in the first quarter and first half, and we was able to just, you know, feed off of that. And I think that, you know, each half is things that going in the game that gives guys momentum. And, you know, the momentum swing went to them, and we struggled getting it back, you know. And I feel that when we play with momentum and that passion, you know, we're a hard defense and a hard team to stop.
Did you feel like you were close in a couple of other pass rushes? Did you feel like you were close to beating your guy, getting there?
Oh, man, you know, I felt like I should have had three sacks. You know, I look back at the film, and I was like, man, if I could have jumped a snap or, you know, if I could have did this move. But, you know, you can't do that. You know, it's something that you learn from. And, you know, when they start three-stepping us, it's basically like they just kind of took me out of the game because I couldn't do anything.
Do you go into a game saying you want to do a certain move, or you just react during the game?
Well, I love to study offensive tackles, you know, whether to see if they're a deep setter, short setter, they're a puncher, they're a grab guy, you know. Are they good against the bull rush? You know, or do they struggle against speed guys? And once I figure out what their weakness is, you know, I try to play on that. And me, you know, I'm going into the game. I have, like, three moves that I know that's going to work, you know, against this guy because I've seen other guys beat him with it, you know. And I know that I played against this guy in college, and I know what I beat him with. So it's going to be setting it up for him. You know, when I get out there, I'm going to attack him right away. You know, I'm not going to play any games when I'm going, you know, straight for the sack, you know, straight for the goal.
And that's why you like to get out there and get the reps, because it's a matter of setting them up. So if you're only out there for a couple of plays at a time, makes total sense. Hey, the Bud Light Game Zone offers an alternative to traditional tailgating and features the early game action via NFL Sunday Ticket, the Cardinals radio pregame show, appearances by Cardinals cheerleaders, and a great backyard barbecue menu. Yes, it's the Bud Light Game Zone. Admission includes food and beverages. For tickets, go to Ticketmaster.com. Ticketmaster.com, another sellout on Sunday. 59 straight, every single Cardinals game at University of Phoenix, preseason, regular season, postseason. Back to wrap up this edition of the Big Red Rage, presented by Santan Ford. All right, we wrap up this edition of the Big Red Rage, presented by Santan Ford. Earlier was It's All About You, and one other factoid on O'Brien Schofield. So you were in a military family, and you actually lived a few years in London when you were growing up, correct?
Yeah, I lived in London, England for 3 years.
Wow, so if you would have done that World League of Football, you know, NFL Europe or whatever it was, you know, you would have been right at home over there, huh?
Yeah, I definitely went to a couple of games and saw the London Monarchs, but at the time I was a soccer player. You wouldn't even believe it.
No! Are you serious?
Yes,
really?
Wow. Yes, I played.
Did you also drink tea?
Of course I did. Tea and Trump?
If
you want to travel in style via private jet, then you're looking at maybe your pilot down here, your future pilot down to left. Kerry, what is up with this? What have you been up to and what have you achieved here, I'm to understand?
Yeah, I've been studying for my pilot's license for a while now. And I'm actually, the ironic thing, I'm injured right now, so I have a little more time on my hands. And I'm going to actually take my first plane up tomorrow. So,
whoa!
It's going to be a... So if you're in the air, you might want to watch out.
So what have you done? Have you been in the simulator? Is that what you've done so far? You've been in, or you're sitting at home on Xbox? What are you doing?
Been in the simulator. Studying the books. And now it's going to be my first live course. So... I'm going to be in the air. I'm going to be in control.
Yeah, okay. Yes.
Wolf, what are you doing tomorrow afternoon? You want to go with him? His first flight. Should go along.
Come on, Wolf. Let's go. You ready to go?
Yeah, pretty funny, Paul.
I don't know. He might exceed the weight limit on that plane. It's probably one of those ultralights or something. Wolf's not allowed on one of those.
There you go.
Special thanks to Jim Omohundro, Walton, Jason Ellis, Derek Burns, Tiffany Witt. Special thanks to all the fans out here at Marley's Chandler Center. How about Wolf? I can't believe you ordered another salad. You keep losing weight.
Yeah.
Your wonderful family's down here. You're costing them revenue because you're not going to fit the suit with the holidays straight ahead. You're the mall Santa. How are you going to bring home all that money this season?
Yeah.
My goodness.
Mall Santa.
What's going on over there?
Paul's not telling you is he's my...
He's the elf.
We don't have time for that comment. You hear the music. Yeah. O'Brien, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And Kerry, all the best to you and the cast over there.
I appreciate it, Santa's little helper.
Yeah.
Okay.
Load my sleigh. Ho, ho, ho.
This is entirely enough of the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford. That's definitely it.
You've been listening to the Big Red Rage with Kerry Rhodes.
To the outside 10. Rhodes to the 5. Touchdown! Kerry Rhodes!
The Rage is brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford and the Arizona Cardinals. We do this together. University of Phoenix, the official education partner of the Arizona Cardinals. And by Bud Light, the sure sign of a good time. Here we go. This has been an exclusive presentation of the Arizona Cardinals Football Club.